Blog Talk Radio.
There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man is out of time.
Which direction we are going?
Direct me El Camino. It would have been DWI.
We have reached a tipping point.
Non-binary. It is time once again for the tipping point. We have two very special guests, but nobody is more special, most would argue, including my second grade teacher, than me, Stephen Platinum. And of course, I am joined, as always, by the venerable, legendary, award-winning man about town, Larry Goodman. How are you doing tonight, Larry?
Yes, in the somewhat less special, Larry Goodman. I'm doing okay. Sorry about the slightly late start. Had a little computer problem here, but we got through it. We're on the air. It's good to be again back with you, Steve, and without such a long delay as it's been lately. This was good. Only, what, a couple weeks ago, I think, we did one of these.
Yeah,
so this is good.
A couple weeks ago, you know, when I saw that Nathan Mowry, who's going to be one of our guests, was basically running his own deathmatch show in Atlanta, I had to talk to him. I love that guy. I think he's done a stellar job of sort of ingratiating himself very well in the wrestling scene in Georgia, not to mention the deathmatch scene. And then Larry had the brilliant idea of bringing on his opponent, Dominic Stucky. Oh, boy. It's going to be a big night.
Well, why don't we just get right to it?
Yeah, please.
Pardon me here, another little distraction here. Yeah, so
you know,
videographer turned wrestler and now turned promoter. We got the Kill Billy himself, Nathan Mowry. Welcome back to the Tipping Point again, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to be back.
Hey, so personal life, big stuff going on. Now you're a promoter, that's big stuff going on. How are you handling this year so far? We're reaching the end of it. We were just talking about that in our Georgia Wrestling History group about how, like, the awards are coming up, and we're talking about that. But you've had one hell of a year, man, so far.
Man, yeah, it's been great. It's been so awesome, man. It's just been I've been drinking a lot of Red Bull to stay awake and being able to pull off these things, man. But, yeah, I feel like wrestling has really picked up for me this year, and I've been, you know, traveling, like, out of the state to do a lot more stuff, and it's been really, really cool. So, yeah, I'm in this really sweet spot, I feel, like, being, like, you know, one of the main, like, yes, hardcore wrestlers in Georgia, but also bleeding into, like, other states and scenes and everything, and I'm just loving it, having the time of my life.
You're so smart. I like when I think about you, I think about a guy who's got that rare combination of brains and also fearlessness. But if you're so smart, why are you promoting a wrestling show?
That's a good point. That reveals of how not smart that I am. No, but yeah, it's been. Man, it's been something I've been kicking around for a long time, just because, like, when people say, hey, Nathan, I want to go see you do a death match. When's your next show? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going up to Virginia or Detroit or Vegas. And they're like, oh, you're not doing any in Georgia? And I said, well, there's not really a strong death match, like, hardcore scene in the South in general. And so I was like, I need to figure out a way to kind of ease that scene back in here, make it a little bit more prominent. And I was thinking about it for a while. And then one of my friends who works at this place called Monk's Meadery in Atlanta, reached out to me and said, hey, I've been following you for a while, and I'm so interested by this deathmatch wrestling that you do, and it's such an interesting thing, and we want to have you put on a show here. We'll give you, like, a small little budget, and you put it on a show here at Monk's Mead if you want to do that. And I was like, hell yes. It's been something I've been thinking of.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, I'm a huge fan of deathmatch, and I want to kind of, like, try to make deathmatch a stronger scene here in the South. And I was kind of tired of waiting for someone to do it, so I just decided to do it myself.
I was telling Larry, I know Larry's got questions for you, but I was so excited to have you on because I can't think in recent memory of somebody who has done such a good job of transitioning from one thing related to wrestling to actually wrestling. And then when I saw you, you know, at the No Peace Underground show, I remember thinking to myself, God, that guy, he obviously loves deathmatch wrestling, just gets what wrestling is. I've never seen somebody so seamlessly transition in, and then also really engender, like, I think a good vibe. I don't know anybody that has anything bad to say about Nathan. And again, that's such a rarity. I think only myself, Larry, would you say, only me, do people have nothing bad to say about. And like, Nathan, how did you, at what point did you feel like, you know what, I feel like I'm really part of the scene. I think I've been accepted into this whole thing. Was there a moment or a show where you felt like, okay, I don't feel like an outsider looking in. I don't feel like a poser. I don't feel like whatever. I feel like, okay, I think I'm an accepted part of this thing now.
Yeah, I think that moment for me was probably last year at Southern Honor Still Here when I wrestled Dylan in the no DQ match. And I think, like, because Dylan and, you know, DDP, they've just seen me as a video guy. And the whole story basically around that was Dylan holding me down to be just a filmmaker. And, like, I wanted more. I wanted to be a wrestler, and I worked at it and kept going. And then and the end of the story is, you know, I ended up beating him, and then he accepts me as a wrestler. But I also think that was, reflective of real life in a lot of ways. So I think a lot of time people would see me be like, oh, you're like a camera guy. You're like, stay in your lane. And I just don't want to do that. So I was just thinking to myself, man, I'm such a fan of deathmatch wrestling, and I'm only getting older. I don't want to, like, sit on my couch when I'm 90 years old and think about the stuff I didn't do. So for me, it's like, right, you know, it's now or never. And it seems like I've slowly been getting respect and stuff in the scene, and people have definitely started to welcome me, you know, a lot more and see me more than just like a camera guy. So which is fun.
Larry, please.
Yes, you know, being that Atlanta has been the graveyard of so many wrestling promotions, did you have any trepidation about coming into Atlanta? I mean, I understand now why you did, because you got an offer to run the Monk's Meadery, but can you speak on that? Do you have any concerns about coming into Atlanta?
Yeah, so there's several things. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever put on my own, like, wrestling show. But I come from a background of, you know, making music videos, so I know how to kind of orchestrate, you know, gathering people, thinking about lights and cameras and hiring the right people, getting the referees, making sure everybody's got waters and waivers and releases and insurance and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm so used to that because that's part of my, you know, day-to-day regular, like, shoot
job. The logistics, baby, is so important, yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to so many promoters, here in Georgia, and that was kind of the main thing. And then, you know, my trainer, Jimmy Yang, was like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? You have to have everything. And he would just send me this long list of, like, you have all of these things. You need to be prepared and think about this. And so I have just a big list, and I'm pretty, like, I'm a pretty driven person. Like, if I want something to happen, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to be pretty
clearly
hard to stop me.
Yeah.
Once I'm, like, once I have something in my head, once I have a vision, it's going to happen. So, and I'm pretty good at planning things out and having a background, like I said, in production. Really helps me be prepared, because I know shit will always go sideways, regardless of what it is that you're working on. So you just gotta be plan. You know, you have to have that planned out. So, but also like it's gonna be like a little bit of a shorter show. It'll be like an hour long, and so I'm kind of using this
God
show.
God bless you.
Yeah, because honestly, I'm kind of over like these 3.5 hour shows.
Hey, yes, preaching to the choir.
You know, hot take. So that's just me personally. I'd rather keep it short and sweet and leave people wanting more. And I think because this is going to be a new subgenre for a lot of people in wrestling, a lot of people that are coming to this, it's going to be half wrestling fans, half Atlanta nightlife people. And a lot of times people haven't ever seen it. So I want them to make it digestible, easy to understand, but also just violent and chaotic and stay true to the genre of deathmatch. So I just want a lot of blood and guts and barbed wire and fire and do what we can do, and hopefully nobody will cop call us, so it'll be great.
hopefully no one will cop call.
Yeah. Yeah,
one
people
other question,
just
Nathan,
hear screaming. Yeah.
I was curious about your decision to come in with a series rather than just a one-shot and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me it's like, we talked and they said, are you interested in doing 3 shows over the course of 3 months? And this will be the rate and little budget that we give you. And do you think you can make that happen? And even with the little budget, it wasn't like a lot, but I was like, I could definitely work with this and make this happen. Like I know how to stretch a dollar, but also, you know, pay people fairly and everything like that. So, so it seems like my overhead is not bad. So worst case, like if I don't break even, I'm not like losing a lot, but it looks like I'm probably going to break even and maybe make a little bit depending on who all shows up. Which is unheard of for a first-time promoter, but I'm also just...
Absolutely.
Saturday, so I could walk out there to be, like, one person, you know? So, who knows? So, I could be talking a lot of shit right now, so who knows? That's kind of the thought. I wanted to do these 3 shorter shows to kind of feel the scene out, see if there is, like, a fan base of deathmatch wrestling, because people talk about wanting deathmatch shows in the South, so I'm just trying to find all those little sickos out there and see if we can get something going, see if I can find people who are a lot like me and love the blood and guts.
I love the promo you did for this. The promo you did for the show.
Oh, yeah, talk about that promo. Yeah.
And can you speak on, I mean, I know you talk about it in the promo, but your choice of Dom for an opponent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was something a lot of people were confused about. Like, when I announced that, they're like, you know, Spectre, Sean Christopher to cut cam board. That makes sense. The Blairs and thumbtacks and, like, kiddie pool rubbing alcohol match, that makes sense. And then you look at the card and you're like, Nathan versus Dominic Stuckley, he doesn't do deathmatch shit, you know? Like, so a lot of times people ask me why that is. And what I said in the promo is true, because I met him earlier in the year, and he said, hey, man, you know, it's crazy. We're in some ways kind of like wrestling cousins because, you know, Iceberg broke him into the business and helped him get going, just like Tank and Rev Dan Wilson helped break me into the business. So I was thinking, you know, Dom says that he's like this almost next generation, this flag bearer for the Devil's Rejects. And I personally just kind of took offense to it because I'm like, man, you've never bled. No one's afraid. And that's the thing that I want to give back. So for someone to say they want to carry on the legacy of the Devil's Rejects but not have any violence or bloodshed or fear, you know, I'm not about. So that's kind of, I wanted to bring him in and see, like, see what he's made of. And this is going to be a clash of styles for sure. And so he also, like, in his promo was talking about how, you know, how I'm afraid of headlocks and things like that. But I also know how to wrestle, so this is also a challenge in of myself to go in and show people, like, hey, I can also wrestle, but I also want to bring out of Dominic and see if he can earn the right of saying that he can carry the legacy of the Devil's Rejects. And that has to be paid for in blood, which he'll do on Saturday night.
Yep. Steve.
Hey. Are you going to drag Dominic Stuckey into the deep water in this match? Is that your intention?
Yes. I want to to see what he's made of, you know. So he's going to be cut. He's going to bleed. I'm going to hold him there, rake some barbed wire across his face. Maybe I'll set him on fire, see how he feels about that. Actually, we won't have much to say in the matter. So it's just going to be gruesome. It's going to be bloody. And we'll just see how he handles it.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, and he's a pretty driven guy. So I think he's up for the challenge of it, and I'm up for the challenge of it too. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm curious myself how it's going to go. Because when there's barbed wire on the ground and you don't want to go into it, you're going to go into it, you know. So we're not going to call something a death match and us not get crazy. Because I respect the genre so much, so I want it to be – there will be bloodshed.
I am curious, too. Nathan, you must have seen all kinds of reactions. You know, for people that don't know, like, Nathan is also just a big fan of stunts in general. And some of the stuff, if you've ever seen him do and his friends do, is to the average person is absolutely bonkers. But even though you and your friends and people that you know and in the deathmatch scene are inclined to be okay with a lot of the chaos and the blood and the glass and fire and all the rest of it, Dominic Stuckey is not really in that world. I mean, I know Iceberg trained him, but is there a part of you that's afraid that he's going to have some kind of adverse reaction and freak out? Have you ever seen that from somebody who basically, when it came time to nut up, wasn't able to do it or had a really strange reaction to having to do it? I always find that an interesting phenomenon, you know?
There's been a few people, like, and I don't want to, like, sell them out on here, but there has been times where people, like, will get hit by a tube and they just freak the fuck out about it, you know? So it's a lot of people get weird when they see their own blood. Like, I think when you see your own blood, it just turns this adrenaline on. It, like, brings this more primitive version of yourself out, and that usually overtakes. And if people can just relax and let that primitive side of you drive for a little bit, then you're going to be okay. But if you get scared, then it's just going to be a bad time. And, yeah, I think this is very important. So, and he understands the importance of this. So, and I think he's, like I said, I don't – like, Dominic Stuckey is, like – you know, he's a tough dude. I know that he can handle shit. So I just want to give him that opportunity to do that, especially when it comes to, you know, upholding the legacy of the Devil's Rejects, which means, you know, the world to me. So I'm the next generation of this. So I want to bring back fear and violence to wrestling in Georgia.
So now that you've amassed a bit of experience in the deathmatch world, is there anything at this point that you shy away from?
Not too much, like, unless it's just, because I've done every kind of crazy bucket list thing or took every weapon. At some point, just sharp pains and getting cut is just, it's like the same thing. I mean, I've seen people do, like, pigeon spikes and stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to do something that's going to impale me or, like, get scissors thrown into my throat or something. Like, but I've done shit, like, I went up to TPW in Knoxville and, there's a wrestler up there named Sarah Dox. I don't know if you know her or not. It's Brad Cash's wife. And so she does barefoot death matches. And within the community, even those wrestlers, like, are really, like, nervous about barefoot. And I was like, well, if the death match guys are afraid of doing barefoot, I have to do it. Like, I just feel obligated to. And so my feet have not been the same. That was back in the summer. And we just did Legos and tacks and broken glass. And then she stuck a bunch of syringes into my foot. And so it just ripped all these weird little holes and all these tiny glass fragments went up in my foot. And my foot healed, and then all the glass was still up in my foot. So for like 2 months, my feet were pushing out pieces of glass. Then once you go through something like that, it's like, whatever. I'm pretty much game for anything. So a lot of wrestlers, deathmatch wrestlers, are afraid of fire. I pride myself on using fire. I guess the only thing I don't really do is heights because I don't feel like it's necessary for what I'm trying to do.
Mm. Steve, anything else you want to ask Mr. Maury before we let him go?
The only thing I want to add is I think anybody who's in the Atlanta area, if you're free to go see the show, even if you're not in a death match, I think there's something really special. I was telling Larry, and it's part of the reason I wanted you on, Nathan, is I I think it's rare when you have a show where somebody running that show is going to be as enthusiastic as you are about it, while also being realistic about how we need to run this thing and how we need to do it. The fact that your show is only going to be an hour is a lot. It tells me that you want this thing to be a success and manageable. And it's exactly the kind of show that I think deserves support. So if...
Thank you.
I think it's one of these things where, and how cool is it to see something at its inception and say you were there? I think people need to show out for this thing. And you said you're doing three shows, correct, as far as this thing goes?
Yes.
I mean, I just want to, just because you're going to have a fresh idea and a fresh vision on it, what are you going to do? Are you going to do what we typically see with a wrestling show to get us from one thing to the next? Is it going to be, like, to me, it's so exciting. That's why I didn't want to ask you any questions about, like, your theories or your vision, because I want to see it unfurl. And I think anybody who's able to go see it should go see it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, wrestling shows are kind of typically, like, at least in the South, there's two kinds of wrestling shows. There's the one that's just a bunch of crazy dream matches or a bunch of just crazy one-off matches, or there's something that's just a continual story. And I kind of want to have a mix of both.
Thank you.
So you might see just, like, a crazy gimmick match between two people, and then the next month, like, they might not be there, and it might be somebody else doing a crazy gimmick match, but then there will be all these tiny little stories being told that will connect things. So, and being a... you know, a filmmaker for a living, I understand story, and, like, I want to, like, that be a big part of it, because story is what makes everything to me. That's the most important thing in wrestling, in my opinion, is what is the good story. And people always talk shit on Deathmatch about how it doesn't, it's always lacks having story and substance. And so I'm like, okay, well, what if it did have story and substance? You know, what if we really put that emphasis on what Deathmatch could be, you know? Because just because something is super brutal and violent doesn't mean it's void of substance and story. And that's what I kind of want to, how I kind of want to present it. And after I have these three shows, and if it goes well, and if there's like a scene or a thing to be had, then I'll look into trying to run more and maybe make them a little bit bigger. So, but it's all, like this first one, like I am nervous at being in my first show and being very passionate about it. So I really want people to come on out. We're going to open it at 7:30. The show starts at 9. It should be about 9 to 10. So it'll be a fun little thing, and it'll be at a meadery. So if you enjoy that honey wine, come on down and get you some. It'll be good.
Well, give us the specific details. How people get tickets? Do they just show up? What time are things going on? You know, all that logistical stuff. And people, listen up right now, because he's about to tell you what's up.
All right, y'all. So it will take place at Monk's Meadery this Saturday. Doors open at 7:30. Bell time is at 9 o'clock. You can get tickets online. Go to my Instagram or my Facebook. Go to my bio. There will be a link in my bio where you can buy a ticket there, or you can purchase at the door. Yeah, and it will be a good time, and you only get one shot at a first impression, so I really want to go crazy with this one. So we'll see what happens, and I look forward for everyone to indulging me in my crazy barbaric bullshit.
Well, thank
you. Absolutely. And I mean, and frankly, help a brother out. I think if people show out for that first show and make the great impression, not only on Nathan and the boys that are going to be bleeding for you, but the meadery itself, I think it's a great thing. You know, with all these shows popping up at breweries and different cool venues, I would love it if this got added to the list. What is there a name for the promotion, by the way? I didn't even ask that.
Not a name for the promotion yet. I call this the Blood and Honey series. Blood for Deathmatch, Honey because it's a meadery. And I think the plan is after these three shows, if it goes successful and I feel like there's a market and there's a crowd there for this, then I'd probably come up with a promotion name and then take it to the next level and start running more consistently. So this Blood and Honey series is almost a test for something bigger, just to see what's there.
Again, very smart, man. Nathan, thank you so much, and I'm sorry for what Dominic Stuckey is going to say about you in the next part of this.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I look forward to getting him in that ring, because I'm really going to show him what it's like to get cut
and see how he reacts to it. That's half the fun, seeing how people react to getting cut.
Absolutely. Right on, man. Best of luck, and I can't wait to hear how it goes.
All right. Thank you all. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Here we are.
Well, let's go to the other side of the equation here. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah. He's sometimes the ace. Sometimes he's a no-good bastard. Let's see what he is tonight. Dominic Stuckey, welcome to the Tipping Point.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for being on, man. I'm going to hit this man with the hard question right from the jump. Here's the hard question. There's been a lot of guys, and it honestly is one of these things that annoys the living shit out of me, who just go like, oh, I want to do a death match, and then like, blah, 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 blah. And as a guy who used to, I mean, we didn't call it death match. We called it blood shows, where I would get thrown on barbed wire and fall off of balconies and all kinds of shit. And so to see somebody just sort of like, Dominic, I'm just going to put you on the spot. Is that what you are? Are you a tourist that just wants to kind of see what this thing is like? Like, how did you even get talked into doing this? Is this something where you approach Nathan? How did this even come about? Because I'm kind of intrigued that you're actually going to take this step, you know?
Well, first and foremost, it's different, sure, but I don't think different and bad are the same thing. And for me, anything that I do, I got to do 100%. If I really want to be the best at wrestling, I got to be the best at all kinds of wrestling. And a lot of people know I was an amateur wrestler before I became a pro wrestler, so why not add one more thing to just the list of things I can do? So when Nate said that he wanted to have this series, I was all down for it. I'm down for all three initial shows, whether I'm wrestling Nate or not.
Oh, wow. So you're not...
Yeah, it didn't take much convincing.
You're committing to all three.
Definitely. 100%. Because, I mean, it's going to be in Atlanta. I've had the opportunity to wrestle in Atlanta for a couple different promotions. And, Larry, you hit the nail on the head that sometimes you go to Atlanta and you get over. Sometimes you go to Atlanta and you get crushed. And I really want to see exactly how I stand up to a lot of other great wrestling that's happened up there in the state's capital.
Has Bird given you any advice in this regard? Like, because obviously, you know, you have, you know, you're mentored by I'm not going to say one of the, I'm going to say the legendary hardcore wrestler in the state. And has he given you any kind of advice about this or said anything in the past that you think you're going to take into this thing with Nathan?
I mean, it's going to sound crazy. It's a battle of balls. It's a battle of just how tough you are. So Nathan was talking about, you know, he was taking me to the deep end, that this was going to be a new challenge for me. I don't think it's any different than any other wrestling match. It's a fight. Sure, there's going to be a little more blood. There's going to be a little bit more barbed wire. But what's the difference?
Yeah.
You get hurt all the time. I mean, if anything, instead of asking, you know, me how I feel going into this, I'd be scareder to be Nate. Because what happens if the amateur wrestling guy comes into Atlanta and beats him on his own show at his own match?
That's a great point, actually. That's a great point.
Yeah, I really have nothing to lose. Go on,
yeah.
Larry, I know you're about to say something.
Well, I both you and Nathan's promos were the first ones I've heard in a while that made me want to see a match. Like, they really sold me on the match. They were really promos in that respect. And I just wondered about your thought process in doing that promo. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Well, about that promo, Nathan was talking about he wants to test me, he wants to challenge me for the legacy of the Devil Rejects. And he said that meant a lot to him, and it means a lot to me too. However, I don't remember very many times Nathan wrestling in Cornelia. I could be wrong, but I've frozen my ass off in Cornelia. I've sweated in Cornelia. And how can you talk about anything with a legacy
Amen.
If you don't mention Cornelia?
Yeah.
Not only that, it's kind of twisted to think that Iceberg was just some hardcore icon. He could do a lot, and if you followed his 20-year career, you knew he could do a lot. Same thing with Tank. And speaking of Tank, I remember being in Tennessee during Tank's first retirement, telling stories up until 3 a.m. I still have the shirt. I don't remember Nathan being there. So he's talking about wanting to defend the legacy. I mentioned that I've been the legacy for the last 8 years. Check it. Who else can say that they trained with Azrael? People don't give Azrael his credit for being a part of the Rejects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Red
right.
Wilson. Tank, or Iceberg, you guys know wrestling in this state. You guys know wrestling all around the Southeast. You tell me if there's a guy who can say that they are a disciple of any of those four that has done more in the same amount of time, so from 2016 to now, than me. And I'll wait.
Dom, I can't.
It's not that you can't. It's because there are none. And that's no disrespect, but those guys who want to talk about the deep end really swam as deep as they thought they would see the Megalodon at the bottom of the ocean. I'm not talking about killer whales or great whites. I'm talking about the biggest that you possibly can be. And Nathan is great, but Nathan even said he's a cameraman. Before I was a pro wrestler, I'll say it again, I was an amateur wrestler. I'm 27 years old. I've been a wrestler since I was 12. I haven't done anything else, and I don't need to do anything
yeah.
else. And most importantly,
yeah.
Saturday, I'm not proving anything to anybody else, and I'm definitely not proving anything to myself. You guys know who Dominic Stuckey was because you guys
yeah.
did invite me on. You saw the promo. You've seen my matches, not just this year, but for the last 8 years. Nate's the one that's in trouble, and I hate it for him because he could have had it easy. There's guys who pretend like they were trained by Iceberg all the time. You could have found one of those nobodies in Alabama who pretends that they were trained by Iceberg, and he could have had an easy Saturday night. One of the nobodies in Alabama that want to pretend like they were trained by Iceberg, because I've met a few.
I love it. God, talk your shit. Like, Dom, just stepping outside of this for a little bit. You know, Larry said watch the promos, right? So I watch the promos, and I've met Nathan. I've talked to him at length. I know he's a good talker. But it was you who I was embarrassed to say now that I was surprised by, because you know what? I shouldn't have been surprised. I should have done known. But I know now. And I watched that thing, and I was like, and I'm just listening to you now, like, there are so many people missing this part of greatness. And, my God, like Larry said, I mean, I was like, is there any way I can get there? Like, I just – that is what promo of the year is supposed to be. That's what greatness is supposed to be. And I feel like you're doing Iceberg proud. I feel like you're doing yourself proud. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I asked Nathan, is he going to drag you into the deep water? Because I'm curious how you'll react. A guy who is always, I'll phrase this in the form of a question, as they say in the trial, right? So you've always rose to the occasion, right? Anybody who's amateur wrestled understands that is, amateur wrestling, unlike anything else you do in high school, honestly, it is an implication of a lifestyle choice. It is not a hobby. It is something that you are fully committed to in a way that it's just really hard to describe to people who haven't done it, right? And then pro wrestling is kind of much the same, right, where it's to be really know what you're doing requires a commitment. And if you look at the people that have trained you, none of that is fly-by-night bullshit, right? Like, if you trained with Azrael, you've trained with him. And there's a price to be paid, but what you get out of it is immense. So you've continued to sort of pass these tests again and again and again. The only thing that makes me nervous for you is you appear to think that the deathmatch thing is just another form of wrestling. And you're not wrong technically, but are you worried in the least that, I don't know, that maybe you'll find out something that you don't want to know or even know about yourself or whatever? Or are you just supremely confident that you're going to be able to handle what comes your way?
Well,
that's what you've always
done. I was going to say, there's two quotes that immediately come to mind. The first one is, if you are who you say you are, then you have no fear. And I can't keep saying that I'm the best in promos. I can't keep telling myself that I'm the best in my head, and I can't keep telling my friends and family that I'm the best if I'm not willing to go out there and prove it. And that's in any area, any field, any type of match. It could be a thumb wrestling match Saturday, and I'm going to train my ass off to win that thumb wrestling match. I want to be the best, so it's time to prove it. The second thing is that if I'm going to dance with the devil, it's not a conga line. I'm not dancing behind him. I'm trying to be the main event like I claim to be the main event. I'm not trying to go in and pretend like this is his house, this is his show. The only part of this being his show is that he's fronting the money. Everything else is Dominic Stuckey versus Nathan Mowry, not Nathan Mowry versus Dominic Stuckey.
Okay.
And you said it's not just another match, but you also said that I've risen to every occasion. So what's the difference between this test and the Chip Day test? Because if you think back to February, everybody thought I was going to get my ass kicked by Chip. I survived.
Right.
You look back to last November at CCW with Owen Knight. Everybody thought Owen Knight was this top-level star because he's been champion so many places in Georgia and that I just couldn't hang. Yet here I am.
Yeah.
You can go back and you can pick any match and be like, well, Dom should lose that one, or Dom's not going to come back, or this, that, or the third. Yet here we are, October 17th, almost 8 o'clock, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
So, I got to say, I've seen quite a few Dominic Stuckey promos. I do think that was the best one you've done, the one for this match.
Mm.
It's like where you really put it all together in that promo. I was really blown away by it. I have a couple of non-deathmatch questions, if you will indulge me with those.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm here to answer.
So, you, of course, you were at WrestleMerica a long time. You were Mr. WrestleMerica. You were the man there. But then you went to CCW, and it seems to me you were given the opportunity to carry the ball there in a new environment with new fan base, blah, blah, blah. How did that feel to you? Was it intimidating to you, so and so forth?
With WrestleMerica, so without WrestleMerica, I wouldn't be a professional wrestler. And with WrestleMerica, I knew that I wanted to grow, and I wanted to keep getting better. And being Mr. WrestleMerica is amazing. However, my goal eventually in life is to be Mr. WrestleMania for the new generation. And I knew that just sticking at WrestleMerica, I wasn't going to do it there. With CCW, I won't say that CCW gave me the ball, because my first match, and people don't remember this, my first match at CCW is me, Javier Reyes, and Duncan Mitchell, and you guess who was counting the lights. With CCW in particular, every opportunity that I've gotten, every shot that I've taken, I like to think that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you have to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. And it doesn't matter who my opponent has been. It doesn't matter what city we've been in, because we've been in Nashville. We've been to Atlanta. We've been to Athens. We've been to Macon. And I like to believe that if I'm not the head talking point, I'm top three every single time, even on times that I'm not there. I wasn't afraid of what I can do at CCW. I was afraid of who's going to have to follow me at CCW, because right now I don't think that there's anybody on any show in Georgia who's not on the poster, who doesn't get talked about, who doesn't have championship opportunities, but is still so synonymous with one promotion. But if you can name one, go ahead. But I just don't think that there is one.
I'm also curious about your match with Joe Black. You know, there were some, you know, whispers that, you know, he might shoot on you or something. I don't know who started that nonsense. But can you talk a little bit about the match with Joe Black at Terminal West?
With Joe? Wait, with Joe or with Chip? Because I wrestled Joe in 40-Watt. I wrestled Chip at Terminal West.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the Chip match. My mistake. The Chip match.
Okay. With the Chip match, it's kind of like how I said Nathan was a cousin with Chip. He's the other side of the family. Because, once again, people only narrow Iceberg's legacy down to his death match. People don't realize his connection with Murder One, Chip Day, Joe Black, the late, great Jimmy Rave, Priscilla Kelly, those people. And with Chip, it was an entirely different test. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't hear the chirps about how this could go, how that could go. I kind of just blocked out all the noise, because the only important thing to me was Chip was coming off Match of the Year. And even though I won Promo of the Year, that award was given out first on the night for a reason. Match of the Year is just a little bit bigger. Chip, to me personally, has been the best wrestler in Georgia since I've been in wrestling. I remember seeing him at AWE when I first got started wrestle Martin Stone.
Mm.
With Chip, it was an opportunity to see if I'm going to be Dominic Stuckey the wrestler, or do I need to switch to being Dominic Stuckey the manager or referee or something else. Because if I couldn't go with Chip, whether he kicked my ass or not, I needed to get out. And that's the conversation that Berg and I had. If I wanted to do this for real, and I not play wrestle, not hope wrestle, not backyard wrestle, but be a wrestler, yeah, I had to go through Chip. Another speechless one, huh?
I'm going to switch gears again. I'm thinking back to when you went to Pro South. You had a program with Christian Pierce. I think you're both very, very talented, but that was struck me as something that just didn't gel for either one of you. Did it feel that way to you? And, you know, can you talk about that a little bit as far, like, some people you click with and some people you don't? Or did I read too much into it?
So me and Christian, I wish everybody could see it. There's another promotion in Alabama called Spartan, which used to be ran by O'Hagan. I don't know if you remember O'Hagan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I knew O'Hagan because he was a big Micah Taylor rival back in their old Alabama feuding days. And O'Hagan put me and Christian Pierce together our very first time, and we had a great match. And then we had another great match. When it came to Pro South, the reality of it was we were not working at the same pace, because I had things that I wanted to accomplish at Pro South where, if you remember, promos weren't always getting posted about. I was cutting a promo every single week. And, you know, with Pro Style, that's kind of hard because you're flipping back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
With Pro Styles, I didn't fit in. And that doesn't mean I was a bad piece or they had an ugly puzzle. But I was Superman in Gotham. And as Superman, Christian might be the best Joker, but you don't want to see Joker versus Superman. And I think that kind of just let people think, hey, you know, something's going on here. And the other issue with Pro South was I was on the decline at Pro South when I was on the rise in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything personal or anything that anybody had done to me. It was just we didn't find that combination. And I don't know a lot of people that, you know, eat peanut butter and gasoline sandwiches. So maybe next time I go, there'll be a new, better combination.
One more question. I'm curious about how you see – I mean, you spent a fair amount of time at PCW. How PCW fits in the puzzle for you for your career? What role that has played for you?
So going back to WrestleMerica, I wouldn't have got started in the wrestling business without WrestleMerica. But PCW is – PCW and Matt Hankins – is what helped form Dominic Stuckey. For one, Matt Hankins didn't let me use my original wrestling name. I wanted to be Dominic Demento. So in alternate reality, you're having this conversation with Dominic Demento and, like, Larry Badman and Stephen Golden. But with PCW, they try and usher in the next wave of wrestlers. And having traveled to a couple different states, Georgia has the best training systems. We have Nightmare Factory. We have the A4, which Fox and all the guys from A4 have always been great to me. But PCW for me is a little bit special because they allow me to go in there and not in a low-pressure situation, but in a situation where I can truly be comfortable, where I don't have to look over my shoulder of who's watching this, this, and this. And they've always given me a challenge, whether it's been in the ring, whether it's been outside the ring. And my main thing is I want to be better. And that's a journey. And PCW, for the last 8 years, even when they were defunct for a little bit, Matt Hankins, Brian Blaze, Bill the Butcher, Nauseousism, Brian Kane, if you remember Brian Kane, Gil Quest, all those guys, Jeter, have just made such an impact to allow me to continue on this journey.
Dominic, you're one of these newer generation guys that I always praise of, like, gosh, there's just something special. There's just something really smart happening with you. Obviously you amateur wrestle. Is there like a different angle? Like, did you specialize education wise in a field that had nothing to do with wrestling? It just feels like you're bringing something really different to the game. And I'm just trying to put my finger on what that is or where that comes from, this thing that makes you so different. You know what I'm saying? Is there something you can point to where you can go like, yeah, this happened, or I grew up doing this, or I was taught how to do this, that has made you or helped make you this guy that's just something different?
To be honest with you, and it's funny because I'm watching a Mick Foley match right now, and I'm watching a guy who I don't think was very special athletically. And if you see me in person, I'm not the tallest, I'm not the biggest, but brother, I'm bad. You might know the Dusty Rhodes promo I'm quoting. With me, I chalk it up to my training and the people that I've been around. Because Iceberg, and I tell people all the time, Iceberg trained me for $25 a week when I was a broke college kid. Didn't even have a car, had no way to get the training. And then he would come pick me up for training, drop me back off. Iceberg was a special trainer because he cared about my growth. And it's the reason why I care about my growth so much to this day. Micah Taylor, special trainer. He knew so much about the higher levels of wrestling. But even though he comes so close to seeing the face of God and being assigned WWE full-time active talent, he never forgot the people that were still on earth. I've been around so many great wrestlers, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but there's so many states. I mean, there's 50 states, and I don't know very many states that have the talents like Chip Day, Joe Black, Bryce Cannon, Nauseousism, Owen Knight, Rico Gonzalez, AC Mack. Even though AC Mack retired for a minute, he was a great wrestler for the years that he was active. Austin Theory came out, Priscilla Kelly came out, and that's not even talking about the legendary guys that were around before I got into it, like Slim J, who's another phenomenal wrestler and trainer that doesn't always get brought up. I'm very much a product of my environment. If I was around a lot of bums, I'd probably be a bum. Luckily, I've been around a lot of people educated in what I want to be educated in. and people that have given me their time to give me their critiques and their criticisms so that I've been able to grow. So one being Larry, because Larry, I will tell people, because people get so mad at Larry and his reviews, I was like, Larry used to say all the worst things about me when I first started. In 2019, I wrestled a tag team match at Dragon Con, and Larry was like, it's the worst match of the year. And you know how big Dragon Con is. So the worst match of the year was seen by a lot of people.
Jeez.
But I didn't take it, and I didn't get my feelings hurt, and I didn't take my ball home, or even worse, take my ball home and hide it in the closet and never play again. I took it as another chance to grow. If people are going to shit on you, use it as fertilizer and grow. I didn't take it as Larry shitting on me, but I'm just saying.
No.
I think that's the thing that's made me different. I've been growing with my environment. Every time the level's been pushed up, I swim a little higher.
There it is. There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Larry, and we add another name to the legacy of Larry shit on me. My God, the viciousness of this man.
Well, it didn't bother me. I was just happy to be in the
review. Clearly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we had a wrestler recently sort of go off about he's not a Georgia wrestling history guy and we favor guys. And it's like, I'm just gonna put that out here like this. And people are probably expecting me to say there's no such thing as, you know, Georgia wrestling history favorites. That they think I'm going to go off like that. No, there are. They're the ones who don't suck. And so, like, if you get the bad review, like you said, all it is when I first met Larry, I asked him, like, you know, what are your goals with these reviews? Because I was curious as, like, a writer to another. And he said, I just want people to get better. And, like, he had no – it was no more complicated than that. And – you're a great example of someone who took that and said, all right, this is just going to be another rung on the ladder. I'm using to climb up and up and up and up and up, you know? And
well, Iceberg very – oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
No, please. Please, please.
I was just going to say, Iceberg very early on, he was always like, you can cry about it or you can do something about it. And I'm not much for crying about things. And it irks me a little bit because people will try and chalk it up, oh, this is that person's favorite, this is that person's favorite. Everybody has a bias. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can't be pissed off from February to November about what Larry or Rod or any of the writers say about you, and then December and January you want to win the award. It can't be both. So, with guys that get upset, but they still won the award. Like, Irving West, my partner that I won the promo of the year with last year, I don't think he's a Georgia wrestling history guy. And he won, so, I mean, it can't be too rigged.
It's all about your peers, baby. And not that everything's always perfect or precise, but I mean, you're about to, on Saturday, you're wrestling Nathan, out of the most intriguing, most interesting match on something that has the potential to become something really big and great. And a lot's being put on your shoulders. Obviously, a lot's being put on Nathan's shoulders in multiple ways, but his opponent is you. He could have gotten anybody, right? He could have gotten anybody from the deathmatch world. I think that, you know, I think his standing has become so impressive in 2 years. Because I saw him at that No Peace show, and I could see, you know, he did exactly what you're supposed to do when you're the new guy. And when he carried, I mean, carried that old-timer through that match and bowled him up, and made him look great, I thought to myself, like, oh, my God. You know who noticed that? If I noticed that, all the boys in the back who've been doing it forever. He could have gotten anybody, Dominic. He could have gotten anybody from the deathmatch world to wrestle him for this thing. And he's wrestling you. And I think he's wrestling you because, one, it's intriguing. But I think more than that, as much as Nathan was talking about pulling you into deep water, by my goading, mind you, I think he wants to test himself. And I think he likes testing himself, and he likes taking chances. That's why he loves stunts. That's why he loves deathmatch. That's why he's going into doing this wrestling promoting thing. He loves taking chances. But I'm getting the feeling that he might find himself embarrassed. I don't think you're going to see the sight of blood, whether it's his or your own, and freak out. I don't think you're going to suffer some kind of pain that's going to make you stop or collapse mentally. But I think there's a chance that you might test Nathan in a way that he's not expecting. Do you feel like that's a possibility? Do you feel like you can drag him into deep water, into something he's not comfortable with? And if so, what is that thing? What's the test that you can give to Nathan? Because we know that he can wrestle and that kind of thing. Do you feel like you can test Nathan?
I mean, my first thought is, I know he mentioned being scared of the sight of my own blood or feeling a little bit pain, but I don't know if you've seen Rocky IV, but to me, going into Saturday, going into Sunday, because I got PCW turn the page the next day, if I die, I die. But this is what I wanted to do. If I didn't want to be a wrestler, I wouldn't do wrestling matches, all types of matches. And that's what Nathan has to bring, because to be honest with you, if he falls short of defeating me, and I don't mean his manager is involved, or he duct tapes me to something and keeps me down. If he falls short of beating me 1, 2, 3, or making me submit, then it's a failure on his end. And to be honest with you, everybody keeps asking, why me, why me, why me? Why not me? I mean, outside of Mick Foley, who else would have been a bigger death match for Nathan Maurer? Tank's guy, Iceberg's guy, in Atlanta, the Georgia wrestling, not just Georgia wrestling, let me say that again, the South's wrestling capital, and we're trying to bring wrestling back. We're trying to revive something that's dying with something that's totally new. So if Nathan was serious about being a promoter like he says he is, if Nathan was serious about being a great wrestler like he says he is, if Nathan was serious about being the tough guy, badass, whatever you want to call it, saying that I can't hang or I can't swim in the deep water or whatever it is, he needed to message me. He needed to call me. It's just that simple. Because I fear for Nathan, and I really, really do, because he's talking about how deep the water is, how deep the water is, how deep the water is. I don't care how deep the water is. I don't care how dark the water is. I don't care how cold the water is. When you train with Iceberg, you swim in lava. I don't think Nathan's worried. I don't think Nathan is ready for that type of heat. I really don't. And if I got to go through 10 minutes of hell, 20 minutes of hell, 30 minutes of hell, the next year of hell to prove my point, I'm ready to make that commitment. I don't know how committed Nathan is to that commitment. I could be wrong. And once again, if I'm wrong, you guys tell me if I am. But I don't think I am.
I think it's one of these things where the things that you said, the things that he said, make the match intriguing. But the possibilities of what could happen when both of you test the metal of the other is what this match is really all about, and what is so compelling, and why people need to get their ass there on Saturday. Because there are other wrestling shows happening, and there's probably other wrestling shows that are really great happening, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing that's got this vibe about it. It's special, it's interesting, it's intriguing, and the potential, this thing could take off like a rocket, or it could explode and burn in flames. Either way, it's not going to be boring.
Right.
Either way,
right,
it's not going to be something that you've seen before. When's the last time, Larry, you could honestly say, here is something I have not seen before when it comes to pro wrestling anywhere, much less in Georgia? I'm totally intrigued. I'm totally intrigued.
Anything else you want to highlight, Don, before we wrap it up here, that's coming up
for
you?
I want Nathan to know that in my entire wrestling career, I've never lost during Domtober. That includes being 3-0 this month already. I have Nathan's show Saturday. I have Turn the Page Sunday. Next week, I'm going back down to Tipton for Kraken Wrestling, if you guys ever want to send somebody down there. And then after Kraken, I'm shooting straight up to Macon to make CCW. So I'm a busy guy. I don't plan on taking any weekend off, so Nathan's not going to hurt me too bad. I'm looking forward to the challenge because I told you guys I want to get better, and I'm not BSing about that like a lot of people are. And Nathan's just that next challenge. And if I fail that challenge, you bet I'll be right back to meet it again and again and again till either he breaks or I do. And I just don't think I'm breaking anytime soon.
Thank you so
Sounds
much,
good
man.
To me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. I'm going to thank you for this too. Thank you for being great when people saw potential and then people were talking you up, and there's dozens of guys that's happened to where it's like, boy, I hope this goes well. I hope this goes well. And then something falls off along the way, but you've managed to stay the course, which is, I mean, like you said, you've been wrestling, amateur and otherwise, for how many years? And you show no signs of slowing down anytime soon. In fact, it feels like, I mean, is this crazy? I don't even think you've really hit your stride yet. I think the best is yet to come. And that's just as exciting as anything else. So thank you, man. Thank you for being compelling. Thank you for being great. Thank you for being our promo of the year. And best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you. And I mean, as soon as I win, you're going to see all about it. Trust me.
All right.
Right on. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
No problem, no problem, no problem, guys.
Well, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you, Steve, for suggesting we just go ahead and run with this one.
Yeah. I'm always looking for that next thing that I find intriguing and next thing that I find compelling that'll keep me interested in the game. And, Larry, we'll just have to keep this going. We're approaching the end of the year. We're in spooky season right now, and then that means, you know, November's right around the corner and then December. Just rest assured, the Georgia Wrestling History people, we're already discussing how we're going to do this nomination process and make things better. How are we lining things up? What are we going to do? So we're having those conversations, and I know other people are having those conversations. So, we're definitely going to be back at the tipping point or two before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, Larry, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, you know, there's no less than 5 shows that I'd like to be at this weekend. Forever Pro tomorrow night in Calhoun, Action in Tyrone, Saturday night, the show we've been discussing here in Atlanta, which happens to be like a block from the first apartment I ever had in Atlanta. So I have a soft spot for that neighborhood. I have a very soft spot for that neighborhood right there at North and Highland, which is where this is, right by Manuel's Tavern. That's where this place is.
Oh, my God. I love that area. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I know. So there's that. Then there's also Southern Fried's big show Saturday. And then, as we also discussed, Turn the Page Sunday in Conyers, and I just don't know what I'm going to be at. I'm afraid I'm only going to be able to get to 1 out of those 5. It kind of sucks, but anyway, that's what I'm up to.
I've got the Pride Parade. I've been asked to represent with the kids in the Orlando Pride Parade again.
All right.
So that's happening Saturday, and tonight in about 30 minutes, I've got a date, Larry, and I've got a blind date.
Oh, man, we need to do a show. We need a show on that.
Especially with the person who set this date up. Guaranteed it's going to be a story and a half, if not 3/4. So it'll be crazy. Things are great and only getting better. Fun game. In fact, I'm kind of in negotiations to bring back Full Disclosure back on at least a monthly basis. but that will be a tale for another time.
Okay.
Pretty crazy
right.
stuff happening. Yes, yes, yes. And again, that was no bullshit. We're definitely talking behind the scenes about these wrestling awards and getting things going and lining up the logistics. And Larry, can you believe it's happening again?
Here we are.
Yes. In any case, thank you to Dominic Stuckey. Thank you to Nathan Maury. Best of luck on their show on Saturday and to everybody else running shows. Be safe and have fun. And for Tipping Point, I'm Stephen Platinum. He's Larry Goodman. And thank you for joining us once again.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. A production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.